Good afternoon, 4:30 and 49 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Arlo Barnes.
The consensus forecasters have said we can look for about $900 million in revenue growth over the 2 years. So you're actually going into a situation where you do have some money to work with.
State Representative Rocky Adkins says he does expect a tight budget from Governor Matt Bevin tomorrow, but it doesn't have to be too tight.
Kentucky digs out of the winter's first major storm.
And CPE President Bob King says it's time to restore some money to higher education.
In sports, MSU women face off against Jacksonville State tonight at Johnson Arena.
But Luke has the stocks.
It'll be milder tonight with a chance of rain and lows in the upper 30s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
We do have a number of school closings or delays that we want to start with this afternoon. The following school districts will either be closed or delayed tomorrow. Bath County will be closed. These districts will all be closed. Bath, Breathitt, Carter, Elliott, and Estill. Fleming County will be on a one-hour delay. Jackson County, Johnson, Lewis, McGoffin, Morgan, Paintsville Independent, Powell County, and will be closed on Tuesday, and Rowan County will be on a one-hour delay. That's a one-hour delay for Rowan County tomorrow. And finally, the Wolf County School District will be closed on Tuesday. Well, a forecaster for the National Weather Service says eastern Kentucky has braved the worst of a severe winter storm. David Schallenberger of the Jackson office says temperatures should be warmer as we move into the middle of the week. However, he says things could get somewhat soggy.
A little bit of precipitation on Tuesday into Tuesday night, and then another chance of light precipitation Thursday night into Friday, but nothing larger or heavy rainfall or snowfall.
The state transportation cabinet says there have been two known deaths in Kentucky owing to the blizzard. 44-year-old Christopher Adams died Saturday while plowing snow in Christian County when his vehicle ran off the road into a ditch. A Williamsburg man was killed Thursday when his car collided with a salt truck in Whitley County.
Roads in northeastern Kentucky are in much better shape today than they were a few days ago. That's according to Alan Blair of the State Transportation Cabinet's District 9 office. He says snow crews worked hard through the weekend to clear major thoroughfares and said they were well equipped for the task.
Several thousand tons of salt were used across our 10 counties. Still have plenty for another storm or two. You know, no worries on the storage and how much we have. And we'll replenish that salt. You know, it did put quite a dent in the salt supply. We used quite a bit.
District 9 spans 10 counties, including Rowan, Morgan, Lewis, Fleming, and Boyd.
Despite that heavy snowfall over the weekend, most Kentucky Power customers were able to keep the lights on. That's according to Allison Barker. She is a spokeswoman for the utility. She says the region's latest winter weather was gentle on power lines.
Fortunately, the weather was cold enough that the snow that fell was light and dry instead of wet and heavy. So we didn't have a large number of outages across our region. We had a total of 600 from Friday to Monday.
Barker says only a handful of Kentucky Power customers are without service this afternoon, and she expects those problems to be cleared up by the end of the day.
The Ohio Highway Patrol is investigating the death of a teenager killed Friday in a traffic accident. The Portsmouth Daily Times reports that 18-year-old Ethan Pauley of Wheelersburg died while being towed on a sled by an ATV. Police say a pickup truck did not yield at a traffic light at the junction of Center Street and Galea Pike, hitting the sled and its rider. The truck reportedly continued on, but the driver was later located and said he was unaware an accident had taken place. Pauley was a senior at Wheelersburg High School and played on the school's soccer team.
An Independence man has been arrested in connection with the New Year's Eve crash that killed a husband and wife. Independence police arrested 58-year-old Mark Huffman Friday. on two counts of murder. The crash occurred around 10 p.m. on December 31, 2015. Police say Huffman's car struck an SUV head-on, killing 24-year-old Ella McNay and 31-year-old David McNay. An arrest warrant notes that Huffman's blood alcohol content was nearly three times Kentucky's legal limit of 0.08 that night. He also tested positive for oxycodone and opiates. Kenton County Commonwealth's Attorney Rob Sanders says Huffman faces 20 to 50 years or life in prison for each count.
A 53-year-old Proctorville man has pleaded guilty to involuntary manslaughter after injecting his wife with a fatal dose of heroin while she was a patient at a nursing home. WSAZ is reporting that Timothy Smith agreed to the plea to avoid being tried on the charge in Scioto County Common Pleas Court. The victim was a patient at Heartland of Portsmouth last May when Smith administered the fatal injection. County Prosecutor Mark Kuhn tells the Huntington Station it's not the sort of thing you expect to happen in a nursing home.
You would think a nursing home where people go to get better or to, you know, for that nursing care would be a place that would be safe from, you know, from heroin. And here we've got a family member bringing in heroin to his spouse.
Kuhn has been sentenced to 4.5 years in prison.
Simply requiring uniformity in Kentucky's school calendar would save school districts money, boost local and state revenues, increase tourism, and enhance economic development. That's according to State Senator Chris Girdler. The Somerset Republican is sponsoring a bill that would prohibit any district from starting a new school year earlier than the first Monday closest to August 26th.
Our neighbor to the south, Tennessee, they recently conducted an economic impact study that said a later school start date would create an economic impact of over $278 million annually. And it would create in its first year over 2,600 jobs.
Girdler contends that would happen in Kentucky, too, and school districts would spend a lot less to cool their buildings in August.
Kentucky Education Commissioner Stephen Pruitt says the Commonwealth has much to be proud of when it comes to the progress it has made in K-12 education. Pruitt says its rising ACT test scores are one thing, and so is the state's 88% high school graduation rate. However, he says there's plenty of room for improvement, too.
One of our biggest areas that everybody always talks about is our achievement gap. We have to do a better job of really focusing on all students, and while all boats need to rise, as I like to say, there are some boats that need to go a little faster. So we need to build some better support structures for those kids.
Pruitt says he'd also like to see improvements in middle school math achievement.
The president of Kentucky's Council on Post-Secondary Education would like to see the state legislature restore half the funding it cut from the budgets of colleges and universities over the past 8 years. However, Robert King says the schools would have to meet certain performance standards to get the money, including improving retention and graduation rates and closing achievement gaps. King appeared Sunday on KET's One-to-One with Bill Goodman. He says standards have been developed for each school based on past performance, and they don't pit the universities against each other in a competition for money.
We're not saying if the University of Kentucky has a 60% graduation rate and Morehead State has a 40-something graduation rate, we don't expect both of them to get to 65, all right? So the targets for each campus are being set using their current starting points, and what we're looking for and trying to incentivize is improvement.
King says the CPE is asking for nearly $87 million in performance-based funding for the state's 8 public universities and the Kentucky Community and Technical College system. Governor Matt Bevin will spell out his funding priorities for the next 2 years when he makes his budget address to the legislature tomorrow night. MSPR will carry the speech live at 7 o'clock.
Kentucky House Majority Leader Rocky Adkins thinks Governor Matt Bevin will follow through with his vow that the state's new two-year budget will be an austere one when he unveils his spending plan during an address to the Commonwealth tomorrow night. The Morehead Democrat bases his opinion on what he's heard the governor and state Senate President Robert Stiver say publicly. However, Adkins is quick to note that Bevin will have more cash on hand than many people realize.
He does have $225 million in the rainy day account, and the revenue forecasters basically gave him the numbers of $900 million in new revenues coming in. So really, his forecast he's been given and the money he's got to work with is much more positive than Governor Beshear had during about three or four budget addresses that he had to give.
Adkins, though, expects Bevin to introduce a plan to use much of Kentucky's expanded revenue growth to help repair the state's flagging pension systems, which are in the red to the tune of $17 billion.
Speculation is building as to what Matt Bevin will say in his budget address tomorrow night. KNN's Will Clark has a preview.
Governor Bevin says Kentucky's two-year budget must go beyond break-even, calling for the state to generate more money to fix the multi-billion dollar shortfalls that threaten to collapse the public retirement systems. Bevin said in an interview with the Associated Press that his plan to fix the retirement systems will not raise taxes, but it will rely on scooping up any and all excess state revenue to devote to the pension crisis. That means other programs might not get the increases they requested or in some cases could have their budgets cut. I'm Will Clark.
With each new session in Frankfurt comes a buffet of bills aimed at reviving the state's troubled pension systems, some addressing perceived gaps in transparency, others restructuring future benefits and pumping in more funding. Following a meeting of the Public Pension Oversight Board today, co-chair Senator Joe Bowen threw cold water on one particular proposal, House Speaker Greg Stumbo's push to bond $3.3 billion to shore up the teachers' retirement system.
I think it's fair to say that the odds of that legislation and making it through the process are very long, if there are any odds at all on it seeing the light of day.
A similar bill faltered late in the 2015 session. This year, Bowen says he's collaborating on a comprehensive reform package that includes structural changes for new teachers and a four-year window for the General Assembly to reach what's called the annual actuarially required contribution for KTRS. Under new accounting rules instituted last year, the system's overall unfunded liability swelled to nearly $25 billion.
The director of the Rowan campus of Maysville Community and Technical College says the school's new $28 million home is a go. According to Russ Ward, a private fundraising effort to help pay for the project has gone well.
Basically, we have met our goal of raising the $7 million that we needed to match the state capital project bonds. We still got a little money we have to raise for money that the college put in that we're required to by the legislature and the way that the Build Smart proposal was written.
As part of the Build Smart initiative, the Rowan campus of MCTC is getting $21 million in matching funds from the state after it raises $7 million on its own. Ward says the school has received the go-ahead to start the project, even though it still needs another $300,000 to actually hit its goal.
A cabinet secretary in Governor Matt Bevin's administration wants elected officials to rebid a multi-million dollar workforce training grant. The Lexington Herald Leader reports the grant was awarded to the Bluegrass Area Development District in early January. Kentucky Education and Workforce Development Secretary Hal Heiner says Bluegrass provided incomplete and inaccurate information to locally elected officials about its 2014 state auditor examination and investigations by two state agencies.
Ashland City Manager Benjamin Bitter says he wants to get as much federal money as possible for his city. He says he has no philosophical objections to pursuing additional support from Uncle Sam. Bitter was asked about the issue after a private auditor who examined Ashland's financial operations for 2015 said that the city doesn't get much help from the federal government compared to other cities of the same size. The manager says it's not because Ashland has declined to seek more federal subsidies.
When we look at some of our infrastructure needs, we would love to see more federal dollars. We'd love to have more investment in roads and bridges and transportation systems. But realistically, we know that the levels that are existing right now are probably those that we're going to see for the foreseeable future. And so we plan and budget based off of that.
Ashland's 2015 budget included $3.6 million in federal funds.
Ashland's Highlands Museum and Discovery Center is having its biggest fundraiser of the year Saturday, February 6th, at the Boyd County Community Center. Carol Allen is director of the Highlands. She says it's Dancing with Our Stars and begins at 6 p.m.
We have 11 local celebrities paired with 11 very talented professionals in this area who will be bringing it's a very exciting, very fun evening out at the Boyd County Community Center. It will start off with a social hour, and then it will be dinner provided by the Bellefonte Country Club, and then, of course, the show itself.
Allen says money raised during the event goes to support programs and operations at the Highlands Museum. She says the Dancing with Our Stars program is patterned after the popular TV show. Turning now to a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region. Tonight it'll be milder, mostly cloudy, a 40% chance of rain showers, lows near 37 degrees. Tomorrow it'll be cloudy. We'll see a 50% chance of rain, patchy drizzle this afternoon. Highs around 45 tomorrow. Tomorrow night, cloudy, patchy drizzle with freezing drizzle possible in the evening. We'll see flurries also possible through tomorrow night and lows around 28 degrees. It's currently sitting at 50 degrees in Ashland. It's 47 in Flemingsburg, 48 in Inez, 50 in both Lexington and Winchester, and it's 49 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:47, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It's good to have your company on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segments, the Brown Cancer Center's oncology department is urging women to participate in regular pap smears in order to prevent the comeback of a once common cancer. MSPR's Ashley Chapman has more.
With a fatality rate of one-third, cervical cancer affects 10 to 14,000 women every year. Its signs include discharge and abnormal bleeding, but they only become apparent when the disease has reached an advanced stage. That's why, says Dr. Daniel Metzinger, early detection in the form of a pap smear is vital. He is director of the Gynecologic Oncology Department at the Brown Cancer Center. Dr. Metzinger says individual screenings can begin at any time, and women should consult with their physicians to develop a schedule for testing. The primary cause of cervical cancer is the human papillomavirus, or HPV. According to Metzinger, 80% of American women have been exposed to the sexually transmitted disease, but only 10 to 14,000 cases of cervical cancer are reported each year. There is an experimental vaccine for the virus, but it will be nearly 30 years before the effectiveness of the vaccine is known. Metzinger says that the early stages of cervical cancer are usually treated through surgery or radiation and chemotherapy. The more advanced stages are treated through radiation and chemotherapy, but a new treatment using robotic surgery is being seen as a better alternate. I'm Ashley Chapman for MSPR News.
4:48, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock, and Mike has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the MSU School of Music, Theater, and Dance and the Caudill College of Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences. Carrie the Musical will be staged in the Lucille Caudill Little Theater in Breckenridge Hall at Morehead State University. Performances begin at 7:30 p.m. February 23rd through the 27th and 2 p.m. on February 28th. Reservations by calling 783-2170. More information online at moreheadstate.edu/Caudill College.
Chance to regroup. Good afternoon. I'm MSPR's Michael Gustin with the Sports Report.
The Morehead State women's basketball team will try to right a ship tonight at 6 o'clock when it takes on Jacksonville State at Johnson Arena. Coach Greg Todd's Eagles are 1-5 in the OVC and will be meeting a Jack State squad with a 2-5 league mark.
They're a very solid defensive team, very well coached. They're big. They've had an injury or two. They've been a last couple years been a team that's in the top four or so in the league. So be a competitive game, but with an injury or two, I don't think they're as strong as you know maybe they've been.
While Jacksonville State ranks last in the OVC in scoring, it's the league's best defensive team, allowing its foes only 57 points a game. MSU tops the conference offensive stats with an average of 82 points in outing. Despite losing to Iowa State, Oklahoma still claims the top spot in the latest AP Men's Basketball Top 25 rankings. Rounding off the top five is North Carolina at number two, with Iowa, Kansas, and Texas A&M following. Meanwhile, Kentucky jumps three spots to number 20. The Morehead State men's basketball team is regrouping after a tough 78-74 home loss to Jacksonville State Sunday. The Eagles fought back into the game after trailing by as many as 20 points in the first half. The rally, though, died after they got within one of the Gamecocks late. MSU hurt itself by committing 17 turnovers, and senior Anthony Alice said it hurt that starting point guard Corbin Collins missed the game because of a groin injury.
We missed him a lot. We missed him. He's our floor general. He's our leader out there, you know. And just him being out there, you guys could tell. It was just, we had to pick it up and without him, so hopefully we get him back as soon as possible.
Alici had 15 points and 10 rebounds Sunday for MSU. At 4-3 in the OVC, the Eagles host Austin Peay Wednesday. Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari says he can see the light at the end of the tunnel. After the recent upset loss to Auburn, Cal's number 20 Wildcats have bounced back with impressive wins against Arkansas and Vanderbilt.
This team is getting better. Derek Willis is better. Tyler better. Jamal's better. Isaiah's better. They're all better. Scow's better. Alex is better. Marcus Lee got to get back to where he was, but he's now starting to get better.
UK bids for its third straight victory on Wednesday night at home against Missouri. The Round County boys basketball team is slated for a game tonight at 7:30 at Cooper Gym against West Carter. With his Vikings at 11-6, Coach Sean Thacker says they remain a work in progress, noting he's still tweaking their playbook.
Keep trying to add some things, you know, whether it's working on a delay game, putting in some new out-of-bounds plays, putting some new half-court sets in, whether it be zone or man, you know, as we find out more about what our kids are comfortable at doing, then it makes it easier to put them in a position to be successful.
West Carter rolls into Rowan with a 10-6 record. With the Broncos and Panthers set to play in Super Bowl 50, fans that are looking to catch the game in Santa Clara may find some hefty prices on places to stay. AP correspondent Sandy Kozel has the story.
San Francisco Bay Area residents are listing overnight rentals for Super Bowl fans at super-sized prices. A four-bedroom apartment near San Francisco's Super Bowl City is going for almost $1,500 a night with a minimum six-night stay. There's a luxury home in San Jose, California, listed for $10,000 a night. Or how about a treehouse for two in a 150-year-old oak tree, a half-hour drive from downtown San Francisco? It's listed at $495 a night. I'm Sandy Kozel.
Carolina Panthers all-pro linebacker Thomas Davis plans to play in the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. Davis broke his right forearm in yesterday's win over the Cardinals and had surgery earlier today to repair it. Head coach Ron Rivera says Davis will have to wear a brace similar to Patriots Rob Gronkowski in order to play. The Australian Open has reached the quarterfinals of the tournament. Graham Agars has the latest.
Four-time runner-up Andy Murray has reached the Australian Open quarterfinals for the seventh consecutive time, that after a straight sets win over the Australian Bernard Tomic. He now faces the eight-seeded Spaniard David Ferrer after his three-set win over John Isner. The Canadian Milos Raonic won through to a clash with Gael Monfils, that after pulling off the upset of the day, beating the four-seed and former champion Stan Wawrinka in five. An injured 15-seed Madison Keys also lost, falling in three to the Chinese qualifier Zhang Shuai. Graham Agars, Melbourne.
The New York Mets will retire Mike Piazza's number 31 this summer in the Big Apple. The ceremony will take place a week after Piazza's induction into the MLB Hall of Fame on July 24th. And finally, in sports today, even though several key offensive players from his 2015 team are gone because of graduation, Morehead State baseball coach Mike McGuire says his defending OVC champs will still have plenty in the tank this year. McGuire points out the Eagles have a number of key returnees coming back on their pitching staff.
I think it gives you, you know, a little comfort and stability to know that, you know, going out there the first weekend or two, you know, unless we have some injuries or something, you know, realistically we're going to be starting somebody that has started for us before, and most of our returning guys are probably going to be in the major roles as we start the season.
MSU opens 2016 on February 16th at North Carolina Central. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Michael Gustin reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball will host Austin Peay at 7:45 p.m. this Wednesday, and women's basketball plays Tennessee Tech at 5:30 p.m. Tickets available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed sharply lower, weighed by a renewed decline in oil prices, as investors awaited a swath of major earnings reports in the Federal Reserve statement on Wednesday. And the Dow Industrials showed a nasty loss today of 208.29 at 15,885.22. The S&P 500 was down 29.82 at 1877.08, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 72.69, finishing at 4518.49, and the major indices all finished near their daily lows. And New York Stock Exchange breadth was overwhelmingly negative, as there were 26 stocks down for every four up today. Energy closed down 4.5% as the greatest laggard among S&P 500 sectors, followed by a more than 3% decline in material stocks. Crude oil was down 5.75%, or $1.85 a barrel, at $30.34 a barrel, reversing much of Friday's 9% gain, as Iraq's announcement of record-high oil production in December renewed concerns about oversupply. McDonald's contributed the most to gains among Dow Industrial stocks. The stock was about 1.5% higher this afternoon after briefly jumping more than 2% in morning trade to top $121 a share and hit a record high in this intraday trading. And the firm said global same restaurant sales rose a better than expected 5%, helped by the launch of all-day breakfasts in the United States and recovering demand in China. Treasury bond prices were up today, so Treasury yields were down slightly, with the 2-year yield finishing at 0.87% and the 10-year at 2.03%. And overnight Asian stocks were higher, with the Hang Seng up almost 1.4% and the Nikkei 225 up nearly 1%. The Shanghai Composite closed more than 0.5% higher. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated down $2.15 at $95.56, CSX down 45 cents at $21.97, AK Steel down 10 cents at $1.81, Marathon Petroleum down $2.06 at $40.77, AEP down 76 cents at $57.77, and Kroger was down 46 cents to finish at $36.66. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Kentucky One Health, hosting a job fair with on-site interviews at St. Joseph Mount Sterling on Tuesday, January 26th from 4:30 to 7:30. Career opportunities include a medical laboratory technician, certified phlebotomist, surgical technician, nursing assistant, EKG technician, and registered nurse positions. You can apply online at kentuckyonehealth.org/careers. The phone number is 606-285-6420. Kentucky One Health is an equal opportunity employer.
Turning once again to a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region, tonight milder and mostly cloudy, a 40% chance of rain, and lows near 37 degrees. Tomorrow expect cloudy skies and a 50% chance of rain showers, highs around 45. It's currently sitting at 50 degrees in Ashland, it's 47 in Flemingsburg, 48 in Inez, 50 in both Lexington and Winchester, and it's sitting at 49 degrees here in Morehead.
And that'll do it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Tanner Boyd, Jordan Simonson, Samantha Morrill, Braxton Howard, Sam Steyer, Michael Gustin, Sean Delaney, and Ashley Chapman. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.